The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards with the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources, mostly today AARP The Bulletin. I'm going to start with an article that actually I had to cut short last time, and this is about unsung civil rights heroes. And this article was about Willie Pearl Mackey, and she was in Birmingham with Martin Luther King Jr., and he had been writing some letters from his jail cell. He had just been arrested. So I'll read the last paragraph again. He wrote on the edges of newspapers, on toilet paper, on sandwich bags. His attorney, Clarence Jones, hid the scraps under his suit jacket and slipped them out of the jail. We had to put together this jigsaw puzzle. We were on the floor trying to figure it out, scotch taping things together. Dr. King's handwriting was not the best. The lighting was terrible in his jail cell. That is how we developed the letter from Birmingham Jail. When we released it, no one paid attention at first. Only when Bull Counter, the city's commissioner of public safety, ordered fire hoses and dogs onto the demonstrators in Birmingham's Kelly Ingram Park, did we start getting requests for the letter from Birmingham Jail. I could not mimeograph enough copies. The letter became one of the most important documents of the civil rights era. If people read that letter today, they will understand what Dr. King was doing in Birmingham and why he was fighting so hard for civil rights. In my opinion, none of his speeches or writings will give you a clearer vision of his mission. My whole career was helping people. That was instilled in me by Dr. King and others that I worked with so closely. I can't think of a better way to spend a life than helping people. And while we're here, let's do another one. This is Charles Person on the Freedom Riders. 81, living in Atlanta. Civil rights activist, the youngest member of the original Freedom Riders. Later a Vietnam veteran and the author of Buses Are A-Comin'. My dad was a patriotic veteran of the Second World War. He was optimistic that change would come for black people. This is our country, too. That's what my dad preached. My journey began when, as a high school senior in Atlanta, I applied to Morehouse College in Atlanta, and I was accepted. When I got to campus in 1960, the sit-in movement was beginning. I was there every day. The idea was to enter a restaurant, sit at the counter, and shut the restaurant down, because we knew, as black people, we wouldn't be served. Ultimately, I was arrested with others. In 1961, Congress of Racial Equality organized the first Freedom Ride. The idea was to challenge the non-enforcement of the Supreme Court decision that ruled that segregation on interstate buses and on bus terminals was unconstitutional. The southern states were ignoring these decisions. Our goal was to ride the bus south and sit where they said we couldn't. This was not civil disobedience. The law was on our side. I was 18 and needed a parent's signature. Dad approved. Mom was reluctant, but I went. The first Freedom Ride bus left Washington, D.C. on May 4, 1961. Aboard was a mix of black and white activists, including future Congressman John Lewis. I was the youngest Freedom Rider on that first trip. We were well-groomed because how we presented ourselves was important. Each night, we stayed with members of congregations who fed us. We switched buses each day for safety. We were ordinary people trying to do things to make our lives extraordinary. People taunted us all the way to Alabama. When we got to Anniston, a group of men boarded the bus and came toward us. That is when the beatings started. In Birmingham, the next stop, a mob was waiting when we exited the bus. My fellow Freedom Rider, James Peck, went down almost immediately. I maintained my balance, but had my scalp opened. I got away from the crowds, and as luck would have it, a city bus came by. I got on, and the driver had sympathy. He took me to a safe place. He said, "If you go across the tracks, there will be someone there to help you." I ended up in a church where a nurse put a bandage on my head and pulled my scalp together. The beatings made national news as a pivotal event in the civil rights struggle. Using photographs, the FBI identified the men who beat us. I thought it was a slam dunk case, but there was no way an all-white jury in the South would convict white men for beating up a black person. I made the entire ride to New Orleans, and when I got back to Atlanta, my mom thought I would be killed if I stayed in the civil rights movement. Like my father, I chose to serve. I entered the Marine Corps and went to Vietnam. I was exposed to Agent Orange and have cancer today. Whenever I have the chance to speak to young people, I tell them they can change the world. I hope they listen to anyone who tells them that they have the power to make the world a better place. Now, continuing on with the cover story from this particular issue, Money, Money, Money 2024. And this segment is entitled, You and Your 3% Mortgage. Strategies for a low-rate home loan in a high-rate world. If you bought a house or refinanced your mortgage in the decades leading up to the spring of 2022, you have a right to feel lucky. Mortgage rates were often below 4% in those years, reaching an all-time low of 2.65% in January 2021. Then came inflation. As of late October, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate had risen to 7.79%. In the world of mortgages, that's a gigantic difference, said Jacob Channel, senior economist at LendingTree. Getting a rate that is about twice as big could increase your monthly payments by thousands of dollars. With a low fixed-rate mortgage, you can, of course, sit tight and just keep making payments. But the rise in overall interest rates, which affect savers as well as borrowers, might make you ponder adjusting your plans. Prepay the mortgage? Strong investment yields may have you thinking you can now afford to pay off your mortgage or accelerate your payments. But you might consider investing that extra money instead, taking advantage of rates that are higher than your current mortgage rate. If your kids are done with college, or your income has gone up and you have some more savings capacity, instead of paying down the low-rate mortgage faster, another conservative approach is to put that money in a money market account with a yield higher than your mortgage rate, said Roger Young, a thought leadership director at T. Rowe Price. Though money market accounts have the advantage of liquidity, you can cash them in almost instantly without penalty. There's no guarantee that their yields will stay high for long. So another tactic is to instead purchase U.S. Treasury debt, which has a guaranteed yield over the life of the note, thus locking in a rate for longer. 7 and 10-year notes yielded about 4.2% in early December. A related strategy known as laddering is to buy bonds maturing in different years, for example, 3, 5, and 7 years from now. Bond yields have come down from recent highs but are still higher than they've been in years, said Michelle Morris, a financial planner with Brio Financial Planning in Quincy, Massachusetts. Instead of prepaying a mortgage costing 3%, use the cash to buy a treasury bond ladder paying more. If you itemize your tax deductions, the case for keeping your mortgage is even stronger. My husband and I have a 2.75% fixed 15-year mortgage with a low balance. We could pay it off, but I'm watching the benefit each spring when we prepare our taxes, said Donna Skiles-Signan, a financial planner in Albuquerque and author of The Joy of Financial Security. We itemize every year, so we get a tax benefit from the interest we pay, and our investments are doing far better than the net after-tax mortgage rate. I understand the psychological benefit of paying off a mortgage before retiring, but weigh the financial and tax benefits more heavily in this situation. Postpone a move? A low-rate mortgage can act as a golden cage, keeping you in the same home even if you want to move. Trading a 3% mortgage for a 7% mortgage will cost you. Consider holding off on selling your home if buying your next home will be unaffordable at current rates, said Rachel Burns, founder of True Worth Financial Planning in Folsom, California. If you must buy another home now, a big down payment will reduce your loan size, she said. If you don't have enough cash for a higher down payment, you may need to adjust your budget downward. What about withdrawing a lump sum from a 401k or traditional IRA to avoid borrowing? Unfortunately, the tax hit on a large withdrawal could make the purchase more expensive, says Patrick Carney, a financial advisor with Rogers & Associates in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He suggests spreading out retirement fund withdrawals over several years. Consider taking out a mortgage and coming up with a plan to get the mortgage paid down over time so there's not a huge tax hit all in one year. And for one more item from this today, your money, live well for less, product returns made easier. Minimize the cost and hassles of sending back your purchases. Shopping online is easy. Returning can be another story. And some e-tailers are making it more painful by adding fees and shrinking return windows. Nearly 1 in 6 online purchases get returned, according to the National Retail Federation. So companies are exploring ways to reduce returns and trying new return policies, says Christian Piller, co-founder of Pollen Returns, a provider of product return services. Below is a list of buyer-friendly return perks, plus a sampling of retailers that offer them. Some general tips. Always check return deadlines, which are often extended for holiday purchases. Watch out for products marked final sale and those sold by third parties on Amazon. Walmart and other marketplace sites, their policies may differ. Don't assume you can't return an item you've opened. Even gently used makeup may be returnable. Curbside return. How it works. After you initiate the return online and drive to the store, a clerk meets you at your car to accept unwanted items. It's a great option if you have accessibility issues. Who offers it? Walmart, Target, and Dick's Sporting Goods. Convenient in-store drop-off. How it works. Go online and get a QR code, and then use it to drop off your stuff at a designated location. No labels or packaging needed. Who offers it? Amazon lets you return purchases to UPS stores, Staples, Kohl's, Amazon Fresh, and Whole Foods. Kohl's stores have self-return stations. Other retailers are expanding brick-and-mortar, label- and package-free drop-offs. Lands' End and Levi's, for example, use Happy Returns, which has free return bars in 9,000 locations. Endless return. How it works. Return anything, anytime. Well, almost. Read the fine print for exceptions and fees. Who offers it? Costco, Nordstrom, Patagonia, and Five Below. Stores that offer return windows of 1 year on most items with some conditions include Chewy, Sam's Club, IKEA, Eddie Bauer, Zappos, and L.L. Bean. Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart give you 365 days to return trees, shrubs, and perennials. Free return shipping, how it works. You get a free shipping label with your order or via email to print out. Stick it on the box and drop it off. Warning, receiving a pre-printed return label with your order doesn't always mean shipping is free. Who offers it? Amazon. Look for free returns next to the price. Items over 50 pounds are excluded. Apple, within 14 days. Best Buy, restocking fees applied to selected items. Target, Nordstrom, Walmart, and Zappos. Finally, using a branded credit card or joining a loyalty program may earn you return perks from stores including Target, Walmart, Macy's, Lowe's, Home Depot, and REI. Macy's Star Rewards members, for example, get free return shipping. Walmart Plus subscribers get free at-home delivery return pickups. And actually, there's one more item in this whole section, so let's do this. Great ways to save eyeglasses. Pay with pre-tax dollars. Have a healthy savings account or flexible spending account through your work? You can use funds from these accounts, which you build up with pre-tax income, to pay for eye exams and prescription glasses or contacts. Buy your glasses online. You may find better pricing by bypassing standalone optometry stores or chains. More than half of consumers who bought their glasses online spent less than $100 on them, compared with a third of those who made the purchases in person, according to data from the Vision Council. Know your numbers. Worried that frames purchased online won't fit well? Look at the three numbers inside the arm of an older pair of glasses. These measure the width of the frames, lenses, and bridge, and the length of the arm or temple. You can use that information to find another pair that fits similarly, avoiding the cost of mailing back a bad fit. Look for sturdy, more durable, non-branded frames. When it comes to eyeglass quality, regardless of the brand, frames with thicker eyepieces tend to last longer and retain their shape longer than thinner, daintier frames. Skip high-index lenses for simple prescriptions. Though high-index lenses, which refract light more efficiently than traditional glasses, may be a good choice for those with a strong prescription who want thinner lenses, they're an unnecessary upgrade for those with a lower-strength prescription. And shop around for contact lenses. Since your contact lens prescription will include not only the measurements, but also the brand name of the lenses your doctor wants you to purchase, comparison shopping for them is very straightforward. You may save more by finding an online retailer who offers discounts for bulk purchases or for signing up for auto delivery of future lenses. Now let's go back to the other AARP, the bulletin, to look for your most urgent health questions answered. Some more items on that. I don't eat enough produce. Are those fruit and vegetable capsules that are advertised on TV a good solution? Unfortunately, no. It's impossible to replicate what you would get from real food by taking a supplement, the University of Maryland's Chris D'Amo says. Only about 1 in 8 adults over the age of 51 eat enough fruits and vegetables to meet the FDA's recommended amounts. A modest 1.5 to 2 cups of fruit and 2 to 3 cups of vegetables per day. Savvy businesses know that, so marketing have begun pitching capsules, gummies, and powders that claim to pack the equivalent nutrition of a dozen or more fruits and vegetables. Even if these supplements contain beneficial ingredients, real produce has thousands of complementary nutrients that can't be duplicated in a supplement. Plus, these capsules are mostly devoid of fiber, something that fresh produce is loaded with and that feeds the gut bacteria to keep it healthy. A study in the American Journal of Medicine on more than 1,000 adults over the age of 60 found that consuming more fiber is associated with better cognitive function. Acid reflux. I read in the news that long-term use of the proton pump inhibitors I take for acid reflux may be linked to dementia. What else can I do for digestive relief? While there is no definite science showing that proton pump inhibitors, PPIs, cause dementia, some studies have shown that the longer you take them, the greater your dementia risk. Though PPIs are a powerful tool in fighting reflux and its negative health consequences, it might make sense to explore other long-term options. Fiber-rich foods such as oatmeal, whole grain bread, root vegetables, and brown rice can help. Bananas, which are alkaline, can help neutralize stomach acid. As long as you aren't lactose intolerant, milk and yogurt are good choices. Acid reflux causes damage to the lining of the esophagus, says Napaporn Pichichot, M.D., a gastroenterologist specialist at the University of Southern California's Keck School of Medicine in Los Angeles. Milk and yogurt can coat the esophagus. Things to avoid include fried and fatty dishes, citrus fruits, especially lemons and limes, tomatoes, peppermint, carbonated beverages, coffee, and alcohol. And now under skin care. I get skin tags sometimes, and they're so ugly. Can I remove them myself? You can remove skin tags safely, but put down those sharp implements. Cutting your skin tag can cause permanent scarring. The best way to remove small skin tags at home is to tie a thin piece of string around the base of the tag, then wait a few days for it to die and fall off. The idea is you're physically trying to cut off its blood supply, which allows it to shrivel up and fall off, says Susan Masick, MD, a board-certified dermatologist at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. Dental floss works well because it's the right thickness. And vitamin D. Yikes! They say that living above the 37th parallel puts somewhat at risk of vitamin D deficiency in winter. Where is that, and should I be worried? The farther north a person lives, the shorter the days and the lesser exposure to sun, says Brent Bauer, MD, director of the Mayo Clinic's Complementary and Integrative Medicine Program. Recently, news reports have identified the 37th parallel, a west-east line that runs south of San Francisco, along the northern border of Oklahoma, and just above the northern border of North Carolina, as a likely cutoff point. If you live north of those places in New England and Pacific Northwest, or the Dakotas, for example, you might want to ask your doctor about taking a vitamin D supplement. However, sunshine isn't the only factor affecting your vitamin D levels. Bauer says they're also influenced by your skin color, age, and weight, as well as how much vitamin D-rich food you consume, especially fatty fish such as salmon and mackerel. The National Academy of Medicine recommends that adults use food and supplements to get 600 IU of vitamin D daily up to age 70 and 800 daily after that. Food sources include salmon, canned light tuna, and some mushrooms, along with fortified foods and drinks such as milk and orange juice. Take it seriously. A study released this summer allowed that vitamin D supplements could help prevent heart attacks. Why do I have IBS? Four potential sources of trouble and strategies for dealing with the number two blues. Marianne Sarchitz of Wilmington, Delaware, was in her mid-40s when she began to experience uncomfortable bloating and diarrhea. An avid runner, she had to dramatically scale back. If I ran more than a few miles, I would get an intense case of the runs, she said. A gastroenterologist diagnosed her with irritable bowel syndrome, IBS. Then, going through menopause a few years later, she was surprised that her condition morphed and constipation took its place. Today, at 58, she says her symptoms flip back and forth. It's such a strange, puzzling condition, she muses. Why me? The yuck factor. IBS symptoms include recurring abdominal pain, bloating, and changes in bowel movements, diarrhea, constipation, or both. It's known as a disorder of gut-brain interaction, which means it's related to how your brain and gut work together. IBS can cause brain hormone changes that cause your gut to be more sensitive, which can lead to symptoms like abdominal pain and bloating, as well as changes in bowel movements, explains William Che, MD, a gastroenterologist at the University of Michigan. While IBS is most common in your 30s and 40s, people over age 50 represent a substantial portion of those with IBS, says Anthony Limbo, MD, Vice Chair of Research for Cleveland's Clinic's Digestive Disease Institute. And those symptoms often change with age. As you get older, the nerve endings in your gut become less sensitive, Limbo says. As a result, abdominal pain and discomfort are less severe. However, chronic diarrhea and constipation remain common and may increase with age. If you have recurrent abdominal pain or a change in your bowel habits that lasts for more than a couple of weeks, see your doctor right away. They may want to evaluate you for other conditions such as lactose intolerance, celiac disease, infections, and even some serious conditions such as colon cancer or inflammatory bowel disease. Blood and stool tests, and in some cases, a colonoscopy may be recommended. IBS is likely the culprit if there is no other explanation. Causes and solutions. Among the many factors that may lead to IBS, infection. About 1 in 10 people develop IBS after a bout of gastroenteritis, a.k.a. the stomach bug, explains Yuying Luo, M.D., a gastroenterologist at Mount Sinai Center for GI Physiology and Motility in New York City. Food poisoning can also trigger inflammatory response in your GI tract. What you can do? Research results are mixed, but suggest that some probiotic strains may improve IBS symptoms, including bloating and gas. One that has been shown to work in clinical trials to alleviate IBS symptoms is Bifidobacterium bifidium, MIMB, little b, 75. A 2022 review of studies found that strains of other probiotics also significantly help in improving symptoms. So this article goes on. We will tackle more of it next time. Now let's look at a few more bits of information about your brain. These bits of information are from a National Geographic magazine entitled Your Brain, A User's Guide, 100 Things You Never Knew. Now, in these articles, they do expand on the 100 things, but for you, my audience, we're just going to do the general announcement of what they involve. And then if you're interested, let me know and we can delve into it deeper. So this is number 11. Did you know most of the neurons we will ever need are already present at birth? Did you know the human brain has about 80 billion neural gel support cells for neurons? Did you know that adults mainly use the left hemisphere of their brain to process language? Did you know the brain's hippocampus region helps us stash away memories that might be useful later? Number 15, the ratio of white matter to gray matter changes as you age. 16, in 20% of twins versus about 10% of the population, one twin will be left-handed. Number 17, infants who have only one working brain hemisphere generally grow up with normal brain function. Well, folks, we have once again reached the end of our time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.